always, thank you for the encouragement to preach the word every time I come up here. I appreciate that so much. I have a few things I want to make everyone aware of that's going on right now, and starting with tonight will be the beginning of the summer speaker series that we have every year for about 8 weeks. Tonight we're going to have a guest speaker. I will not be speaking. I'll be introducing the speaker, but I will not be speaking tonight. So hold your preach the word tonight until the real speaker gets up. But in the meantime, we've got Radon McIntosh, who is the associate minister at Salado, who will be speaking to us tonight. I've just asked all the preachers this time around to bring their best sermon. So we'll see how his best sermon flies, and so I hope it'll be good. I'm sure it will be. But anyway, Radon has spoken here before several years ago. I invited him back for this year, so I'm glad he's coming. But please come back and spend some time with these folks. Many of you have been asking about Teresa's dad. He's back in the hospital right now. He's doing really well, though, at this point in time. They had to give him a lot of iron yesterday. He was so anemic that he was starting to curl up in his digits and so on. So they gave him a lot of iron, and he perked right up, and so he looks better, feels better. I think they're going to do a couple of scopes today to see what's going on inside, to see if he's actually still losing blood internally. They don't think that he is at this point in time, but they just want to make sure. So he'll probably be there another couple of days. He's in Temple now at Scott & White. So I think he can have visitors, but I couldn't even start to tell you the room number right now. So I'll try to get that for you and let you know. In the meantime, thank you for your prayers and just ask you to keep them in your prayers. Last time we were together, and for weeks to come, we're going to be talking about the Church of Christ. Not the Church of Christ, the name on a building in this world today, but the Church of Christ as it exists in all eternity. In fact, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look at the Church of Christ both universally and also locally as we discuss what the church really is. I want us to be aware of who is in the church and who is not in the church, and that's what we're going to struggle with over the next few weeks or consider together over the next few weeks. And starting today, we're going to just look at the fact that there's much confusion in the world about what the church exactly is, who's in the church. There's especially a lot of concern and a lot of confusion over how one becomes a part of the church. How does one become a part of the Lord's church? Do you join the church? I hear that phrase a lot. People say, I want to come and join your church. Well, you can't join my church because I don't have a church. The Lord has a church. If you want to say, I want to join the Lord's church, then that's a total different thing. The question is, can you join the church? Or maybe you're voted in. I hear there are some churches that vote people in and refuse to vote folks in depending on what they think about that person. I also don't have much respect for that idea. The question is, how is one added to the Lord's body? How do you get added to the Lord's body? By the end of the lesson today, I think you'll see that you are actually added to the Lord's body by the Lord and not any other way. But let's explore over the next couple of weeks concerns about the universal church and the local church and what differences there are between those two entities, if there are any, and what we need to know about that. And mostly we're going to be concerned with who is and who is not a part of Christ's church. The universal church on earth is one thing. Universal church in eternity is quite another. But both groups are made up of the same people, right? The church is made up essentially of everyone who has been saved by God through Christ. Every person who has been saved by God through Christ is added to the church. That's what the church is made up of. When Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it, he was discussing the universal church. One church made up of all the members of the body who are faithful to God, all those who have been brought to God through Christ Jesus. He was speaking of that church. That's what he wanted to build, a universal church where everyone was brought to God through Christ himself. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, we find out that the church is made up of all those folks who are saved. Read with me, if you will, Hebrews chapter 12, starting verse 22. We've looked at this verse again before, and we'll continue to do so as we talk about the church. You have come to Mount Zion. That's not Mount Zion on this earth. That's the eternal Mount Zion. And to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. For the blood of Abel was precious blood, was sinless blood, was innocent blood. The blood of Jesus is so much more so. But you've come to Mount Zion. Hebrew writer says, you've come to the city of the living God. You've come to the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to all the angels. You've come to the general assembly. Look at one phrase here, the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. I believe the general assembly is the church as it's made up in all eternity, and the church of the firstborn are those who were in the church from Christ on, right? That's my understanding of the two phrases. The whole idea is that we are enrolled in heaven, and the church is, as made up in a universal sense, is enrolled in heaven, and it's a group of people from all across the world who are saved. That's who is added to the church. Because of that, there's only one universal church, right? Talk about the oneness of the church, and we get confused from time to time because we see denominationalism as it exists in the world today, but in the eternity, in the universal church, there's only one universal church. There'll only ever be one universal church. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, we find out that God put all things in subjection under his feet, under Christ's feet, gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is the head over the church, which is his body. There's only one church. Jesus only has one body. The church is that body. There's only one church. There's only ever going to be one church. No matter how many congregations locally there are, there's only one universal church. You're either in that universal church or you're not in that universal church. And if you're in that universal church, you're saved. And if you're not in that universal church, you're lost. It's as easy as it is. There's only one church. Folks get down on the Churches of Christ members in the modern world today because we talk about there being one church, and they're thinking, you think you're the only folks who are going to heaven. No, we don't even think all of us are going to make it to heaven, all right? If you want to be honest, we're not even sure everyone here is going to make it to heaven, but we hope we will, all right? But there's only one universal church. There's only ever going to be one universal church, and if you're not a part of that church, then you're not going to be in heaven for eternity, all right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body, one spirit. This is also you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one body. That body is the body of Christ. There's one eternal, universal church, and that's all there ever will be. Now, how did that church begin? Where did it begin? Who is added to that church? How do you become a part of that church? How do you make sure that you're going to be one of those saved when eternity comes? Well, it began on the day of Pentecost. What day of Pentecost? Well, about AD 31 or 2. All right, everybody says AD 33, but that's because they think that Christ was born and then that, you know, 0 year, 1 year became. But if you trace history really well, the monk who made that calendar was messed up by about 4 years because Herod the Great died in 4 BC, according to the modern calendar. So Jesus was crucified about 29 AD, not 33. But anyway, you work that in your own hand. But it began on the day of Pentecost shortly after Jesus was crucified and resurrected from the dead. Right? The next Pentecost after that happened, it was on that day. Look at Acts chapter 2, verses 40 and 41, which discusses the time of the beginning of the church during that sermon that Peter was preaching on that day. With many other words, it says, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Well, added to what? Added to their number, we'll read a little bit later, because they were added to the group of folks that were believing in Christ Jesus through the preaching of the apostles. Everybody was added to that same group. That's when the universal church began, on the same day that the local church began, on the same day the earthly church began. It was all on the same day, and that's the day of Pentecost. What we discussed from that time on, what we learn from Scripture about that church and who the church is and what makes up the church, right? So I'm going to look at, first of all, some peculiarities of the universal church. One of those peculiarities is you can only be added to the church by God. God is the only person that can add a person to the church. God is the only person who can add somebody to the church. God is the only person who can add somebody to the church. It's because you say you're a part of the church doesn't make you part of the church. It's because you want to be a part of the church doesn't make you a part of the church. Only if you've done what God says to be added to the church will you be added to the church. Only God can add a person to the church. Number two, the official roster is kept by God. I'm always amazed when I see somebody say, well, we've got a membership of about 600, but an average attendance of about 300. What does that even mean? It means that they don't see the same thing God sees when he decides what a church is and who belongs to the church, right? God keeps the eternal roster. It's kept by God, and only God knows who's on that roster. Only God can say who is in and who is not in the church. Only God can say that. We can't say. It consists only of those who are saved. Saved how, you ask? Saved by the way the Bible says you have to be saved, right? If you're not saved that way, then you're not saved at all. It consists only of those who are saved. Not everyone who thinks he's been added to the church really has been. And not everyone who thinks they're saved are really saved, right? So those are some of the peculiarities of the universal church. Only God knows who's in it. Only God can add you to it. So let's explain that some. You can only be added to this church by God. You cannot be part of the church just because you say you are, but because you crossed your T's and dotted your I's or any other thing. You'll only be added to the church by God. Look at Acts chapter 2 again. Let's look at verse 41 and compare it to verse 47. Verse 41 we already saw, so then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Now right away, we realize that being added to this church has something to do with believing a message that was preached and being baptized as a result of that message, and then being added by God, all right? Now look at verse 47, a little further down. The Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And the only thing you get between verse 41 and verse 47 is the activities of the church on that first in those first few days and weeks of the existence of the church. But everyone who was believing and being baptized was being added to the church by God. And in verse 47, he added day by day those numbers that were being saved. A few chapters later, there's 5,000 and so on that are added. And so we see that God was taking advantage of the message being preached and using that message as the means by which somebody was saved. Not the message alone, but response to that message in baptism. And that's the most brief idea I can give you about how a person is added to the church. They're added by hearing the gospel and by believing that gospel and obeying it in baptism. Now, the fact that God keeps the official roster is also made clear in verses like Hebrews chapter 2 and 12 and verse 23, Hebrews 12 and verse 23, which we just read a while ago. It talks about the General Assembly and the Church of the Firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Enrolled in heaven by God. God has the roll call. So when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I want to be there. I hope so. That's my intention. I'll be there. But only God knows who's actually on that roll. So are you on that roll? Well, have you done what God said to do? That's the next question. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. God knows who you are if you're his. He knows who you are if you're not his. He knows whether you are in heaven or not. He knows whether you're enrolled in heaven or not. He knows whether you'll go to heaven when you die or not. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. So if you don't abstain from wickedness, then guess what? You're not going to be enrolled in heaven. That verse is very clear on that matter. If you're participating all the time in wickedness, then you're not going to be enrolled because God is going to enroll those who are being good folks and who are obeying him according to his will. Now, the church consists of only the saved. Only the saved are in the church. Now, when I say that, I recognize that in any local congregation, we're talking about the universal church right now, any local congregation, there's some folks who are saved and who are not saved. There's some folks who are on their way to being saved. There are some babies who aren't old enough to be saved yet. There are some other folks. In the local congregation, that is true. In the universal church, only the saved are in that universal church. That's the only ones, right? Only the saved. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Now, this is a description of the church, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. He loved his church as much as most husbands love their wives, as husbands should love their wives. If husbands are good husbands, their wives are good wives, right? How does he love his church? He loves her so much he gave himself up for her. He sacrificed himself for all eternity for her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The washing of water with the word. Folks, if there's ever a thing that said, hear, believe, repent, and be baptized, I've never heard anything better. He cleansed her by the word, which you have to hear and believe. You have to repent of your sins. You have to be baptized by the water. In that method, he brought to himself a clean and a sparkling bride in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Only the holy and the blameless are in the church. Only those who are saved are in the church. Only those who have been saved by water and the word are in the church. Everyone else is not. There's only one universal church. You're either in it or you're out of it. If you're out of it, you're out of everything, folks. There are some who are in it who might get cast out eventually because those who sin are going to eventually be cut off. You can be in the church and added by God when you're saved, but you can be cut off by God later on. Look at John 15, verse 2 and then verse 6. This is a very long parable by Jesus. I encourage you to read all of it in your own time, but for this morning we're going to take just two verses. And it starts with, every branch in me, Christ says, that does not bear fruit. Now, these are every branch in me. These are folks who are in Christ, they belong to Christ, they believe in Christ, but they don't bear any fruit. Neither fruit of righteousness nor fruit of repetition or reproduction, rather. And no fruit is produced by these folks. So every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Now, every person who's in the universal church is a fruit-bearing branch. Every person who's in the eternal church, who's in that universal church, is a fruit-bearing branch. If you think you're in the church of Christ and you're not bearing fruit, and you are not, you're a branch about to be cut off, all right? You're either producing or you're not producing. If you're not producing, you're going to be cut off. What happens to those that are cut off? Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So you got a choice. You can either be with Christ for all eternity as one of his productive branches, or you can be cut off and burned in the fire. That's your two choices. Universal church is only one body. God knows who's in it. One of the peculiarities is if you are not a fruit bearer, you're cut off. So are you bearing fruit for Christ this morning? If you're not, you better get busy. If you are, God's going to prune you. What does pruning look like? Well, pruning can be harmful sometimes. It can be hurtful sometimes. It can be good sometimes. It's always good eventually because it causes you to bear more fruit. God may have to cut away some stuff from you that you still got that you don't need. He may have to add to you some fertilizer that you need that you have to be more productive. Whatever it is, God's going to take care of it. If you trust in God, continue with God, obey God, work with God, and work for God by bearing fruit in His name. Some of that fruit is the fruit of repentance. That's some of the fruit that you're going to bear in your own body. You're going to become bolder. You're going to become more courageous. You're going to become kinder, nicer. You're going to be more loving. Those are the kinds of, that's the kind of fruit you bear in your own life as the fruit of the Spirit. And then there's another kind of fruitfulness where you replicate yourself for Christ. Both of those are necessary in order for us to be good fruit-bearing branches in Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. So because you're lukewarm, Christ said to one of the churches, I will spit you out of my mouth. You're neither hot nor cold. Spit you out of my mouth. Jesus is going to vomit out of his mouth. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself, didn't I? There you go. I was okay in my, I just wasn't okay with you guys. All right, so here we go. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'll spit you out of my mouth. That's Christ of the church at Laodicea. If you're not producing fruit, if you're not bearing fruit, if you're not hot or cold, if you're not hot, it's what he wants you to be, or cold so you can learn to be hot, one of the two. But if you're lukewarm and you're okay, you're just sort of coasting through life as a lukewarm Christian, you're not going to make it very far because Christ will spew or vomit you out of his mouth. Look back at Romans 11, Romans 11, verse 19 through 22. Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. Quite right, they were broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Behold, then the kindness and severity of God, those who fail severity, but to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now this is talking about those who are the natural branches, were the children of Israel, Hebrews by faith and by covenant. Then they were broken out so that the Gentiles could come in by faith through the gospel message, right? That's the basic idea here. But he says, even if you're one of the natural branches and you're broken out by being not being righteous before God, you can be broken out. So instead, if you are grafted in or whether you're a natural branch, don't be conceited, but instead fear God. God might not spare the natural branches. He might not spare you either. You might be cut out. But what you're wanting to depend on is the kindness of God, but you're also going to depend on the fact you must be a good, productive branch, right? So you can't just decide that you're in the church and you're always in the church, as so many folks in this world do. They have the once saved, always saved policy that says, I've been saved and I'm always saved. You might not even be saved, number one, if you haven't done what God said. Number two, and if you are saved, you can be cut off if you're not productive. God will cut you out. The universal church is made up of only those who are saved, who are making things happen for God that they should be. Now, the universal church both exists on this earth, it also exists in eternity. So the universal church in eternity is a sure thing, all right? Universal church on this earth may or may not be a sure thing. But only those in that body will be saved. Ultimately, when Christ comes again, only those who are in the body on this earth will be saved for eternity to be in that body in eternity. If you're not in that body on this earth, you'll never be in that body in eternity. You'll just be left behind, all right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife. This is Christ is also the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. You have not been saved by Christ, and you're not in that body. You're outside that body. If you haven't been saved by Christ, you're not a part of that universal church in heaven because you're not a part of that universal church on this earth. There's only one way to get into that universal church on this earth, and that's to be saved by Christ by his blood through baptism brought to him. And we're going to look a little bit more at the process of salvation in just a moment, but I just want you to realize the universal church in heaven is made up of Christ as the head, and the body is all those who are saved by being saved by Christ, who saved his body. The headship of the church is in heaven. It's not on this earth. So if you think that you're going to join a church by becoming a part of the group recognized by whatever local eldership or local papacy or whatever you might have on this earth, if you think that's how you're added to the church, then you've got another thing coming. The headship of the church is in heaven. So look at Ephesians 2, verse chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, as you were without Christ, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that's the prophecy of the Bible, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, he is the Savior, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple for the Lord. That's all of you if you come to Christ through God. All right, or come to God through Christ. It's growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Paul could say that to the church at Ephesus because he knew the process they'd gone through to come to God. He knew they were Christians, in fact. He knew that they were children of God. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, Peter says to his folks, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are either being built up as living stones or we're not, right? You're either in the church or you're not. You're either a part of the local body and therefore a part of the universal body or you're not. But you can't be both. You can't either be in and out. You have to be either in or out. You can't be both. So as living stones, as stones that are productive, as stones that are living for God, living for Christ, as those who are continually sacrificing themselves for God, then you're being built up as a spiritual house, that eternal heaven for God. We're being built up as that eternal dwelling place of God in the heavens. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. The universal church, therefore, is made up of only the saved. The universal church, therefore, is made up only by those who are added by God, cannot be divided. The universal church cannot be divided. Even though local congregations can be divided, the eternal church cannot. The universal church cannot be divided. There's only one body. I've said it several times, I'm going to say it one more time. There's only one body. You're either in that body and God has enrolled you or he has not, but it cannot be divided once you're in that body. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there's one body, one spirit. This is also, you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling. That hope of your calling is eternal life. There's only one body going to make it there, and that's the universal church of Christ. That's if you are in that church, you're okay. You're going to be there. If you're not in that church, you're not going to be there, right? Death does not affect the membership of the church. Now, here there's a mistake on your slide. I don't know what verse that is that I posted in there. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10 does not say that at all. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10 says, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Whether we're awake or we're asleep, we'll live together with him. That's the verse I was looking for. Y'all can look that up and figure out what I had in my browser that I should have pasted that I did. But anyway, that's the correct verse is this one, right? The correct verse says, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. Death does not affect the universal church. Whether we're awake, meaning alive on this earth, or whether we're asleep, meaning dead in this world but awake to him, we're going to still be in that church. If you're in that church now, you're going to be in that church then. But just because you think you're in the church doesn't make you in the church, only if you've obeyed God to be added to that church. See what I'm saying? It's that simple. It's that simple, all right? In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. For to me, Paul says, to live is Christ. To die is gain, all right? If I'm living, I'm still Christ. If I die, I'm still Christ. I'm living as Christ. I'm dying as Christ. I belong to Christ. If I'm alive, I belong to Christ. If I'm dead. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I will live every day to serve God, he says. I do not know which to choose, though. If I'm hard-pressed for both directions, having both a desire to depart and be with Christ, that is very much better. If you're living for Christ on this earth, then when you depart, you're going to go to be with Christ. That's very much better. If you're not living for Christ on this earth, you're going to depart, and it's going to be very much worse for you, very much worse for you. All right? As long as you're on this earth, there's still a chance that you can come to be a part of the church, but only if you will obey Christ and become a part of that church. If you do not obey Christ, if you don't do what Christ says to do, if you don't come to God through Christ, if you don't accept him at his word, you don't do the things that he says to do, you'll never be added to that church, no matter how much you want to be added to that church. If you're twisting what God says, if you're not preaching what God says, if you're twisting the truth so that you can make yourself added to that church by yourself, you're just fooling yourself. God's not going to add you anyway. Are you a part of that universal church? The question remains to you. There's only one way to be added to that church, and that's to believe in God, come to God through the gospel message, which is preaching the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, and his glorification back to heaven. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe he's the Son of God, you can't be added to that church. If you do believe that Jesus is Christ and the Son of God, then you have to take the next step. That is, you have to follow God's plan to be added to the church. We're going to look at that plan in more detail in the future weeks as we consider the Church of Christ, but right now, just understand that the death, the burial, and the resurrection that you are obeying has to be obeyed by you. You have to die, you have to be buried, and you have to be resurrected, or else you'll never be added to the church. How do you die, and how are you buried, and how are you resurrected? You die to yourself by repenting of your sins, by confessing the name of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're buried by being baptized in real water in this earth, by being baptized in water and being raised up to walk in newness of life, having the blood of Christ applied to you as you give your life to Christ. He applies his blood to you and you're saved by the blood of Christ. And then you walk a new life by being a person of God and by following the plan of God. So that's basically the plan. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Here, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That's how we've simplified it for everyone. And then I also add, of course, and then live a glorified life from that day forward, right? So you have to hear the gospel, you have to believe the gospel, you have to be baptized into Christ, you have to repent of your sins, you have to confess the name of Christ, and then you can walk a faithful life from the rest of your life. If you haven't done all those things, or if you haven't done any of those things, then this is the day to do that. Don't leave this place this morning not a child of God. Don't leave this place without accepting Christ as Savior. Don't leave this place this morning without being baptized to have your sins paid for with the blood of Christ, having washed away in the waters of baptism. Don't leave this place this morning in that state of doubt where you don't know if you're in the church or out. If you have any doubts, whatever, won't you make those things clear today? See, your eternity hangs in the balance. There's an eternity that you're going to be looking for. That eternal hope that we have is hope for eternal life with God. The opposite is eternal punishment in hell. There's only two places you're going to go when you die, one of those two. So where do you want to be when you die? Do you want to be safe with God? Do you want to be in torment forever with Satan? That's a choice you have to make today. So if you're here this morning and you want to be a part of God, obey the gospel. You've heard the gospel preached this morning. You've heard the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. You've heard about the one body belonging to Christ. You've heard about needing to be cleansed as a bride for the Lord. If that speaks to you in any way, won't you come this morning and put on Christ in baptism? If there's any other way we can serve you, help you, anything we can do for you, if we pray for you, if you have any needs, whatever those might be, won't you let us know at this time as we stand and as we sing the selected song.